today on Real Radio.
But he tells us that this abiding that we can have, that is God in our lives, it can happen now. We can experience Christ now, and that's who John's talking to, the believers who are experiencing Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter we know as 1 John. Now, chapter 2 is very particular in lining things up that don't necessarily go together. Evil and good, darkness and light, lies and truth, comparison, if you will. The section we're looking at today includes one of these contrasts, as John warns believers to be on the lookout for deception and to differentiate it from that which is God's truth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson from 1 John chapter 2 and verses 25 through 27 called A Life Worth More Than Living.
This is another powerful argument for how we know that 1 John is written to the believer. Since he does abide in you and this truth abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. It's very interesting to note that all God wants us to do is understand the fact that Jesus Christ alone has provided the way of fellowship between God and man. And with that, we should tell the world. That is what we're to do as Christians. We're to follow Christ as we've come to know him, revealed in the Word, and go and make disciples of all men. The life of the Christian. We live in a time when I think it's popular. We get things in the mail about church growth. These things, you can have your church grow by 25% if you'll just, and you open this and, you know, it's incredibly well printed and it just looks fantastic. And then there's the fee. And how churches can afford to have these guys come out and grow up their churches, I don't know. But everything is user-friendly. Everything is in and out of church in 60 minutes. Everything is Jesus-like in the pocket. You know, you just kind of take him along. He's just an add-on to your life. I don't think so. I think you and I are living in a time now when we should stand up and preach the gospel like never before. That we should say, you know what? Jesus Christ is Christ. He's Messiah. He hung on the cross. He died for the sins of the world. And I've given my heart to him, and you should too. But the church, and I think all of us, we kind of cower in a little bit of fear because we may not have that boldness to say to our co-workers, maybe for fear of we're going to be arrested or sued or whatever. But I believe God will always provide a platform for you to be able to share Christ, maybe at that job or wherever you may be. As long as there's lost sinners, there will always be opportunities. People will often, because we have such a missions-minded church, which I praise the Lord for, people often will email or send a letter and say, will you please pray about bringing an evangelistic team to our town? And yes, we begin to pray immediately about that. In fact, in a matter of months, you know, you're going to be starting Calvary Chapel of Stuttgart. Well, how does that happen? By prayer and by invitation. Well, what's the prerequisite? Are you ready for this? That people be lost there. They've got to be lost. Lord, where should we go? Hey, wherever they're lost. We should be asking God, where do you want us to go? Not if should we go, or Lord, send them. Send them far, very far away. Lord, send them. No. No, the fact of the matter is, we're to be spreading the gospel like never before. And so I think this is very important that we understand that we are called to live a life that is really in true actuality, as we look to this study now, a life that I believe is worth more than living. Let me explain. A life that is to be lived more than living. Listen, you can be here right now and you can be living. Okay, come on. You can get plugged in. We can take your pulse right now. Chances are you got a pulse. You're sitting here. And you might be thinking, well, man, things great for me. Everything's going great for me, and you're partying, and, you know, the weekend's coming, and I'm living. You're not living. You're dying. Boy, you don't know what I'm into. I'm into this new scene. You're dying. We are called, and I believe he is calling us as we look to this, to live a life that is more full of life than life itself, this life, the life that's offered here on this earth. Jesus said, as you can see, I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. The Bible warns that we can be living in this world and be living a life that is absolutely dead in all actuality. And the truth of the matter is, there are three main points that I think John wants to stress in verses 25 on down. And the first one is this. Jot it down with me. The essence of the gospel is eternal life. That's the message that we have to give the people tonight. And the Antichrist spirit that we read about earlier is against that news. Oh, that's a joke. Oh, that's a wishful thinking. That's a thing that Christians hide behind to deal with reality. Listen, eternal life is the essence of the gospel. The next thing we'll see this evening is that the essence of the gospel is under attack. There's no doubt about it. Even in churches, the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel is under attack. And also, the essence of the gospel is factually at work by the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is not invited, where the Bible is not believed, where games are played, you will not find lives being changed. And in fact, you'll go to a church that might even be big. It might even be high tech. But it'd be dead because there's no preaching of the cross. There is no call to repentance. There's no call to the world to get Christ out there. And there's no call, like, God help us. Lord bless this coming Saturday to the men to come and be men for Jesus Christ. The essence of the gospel is, in fact, eternal life. And so, as we look, we want to study this carefully and follow along with me. He says in verse 25, he says here, and this is the promise that he has promised us. Does God keep his promises? Oh, yeah, he does. And what is it? It's eternal life. The essence of the gospel is eternal life. Jesus Christ came fulfilling the Old Testament promises. You take the Old Testament and all of its messages and all of its symbolism and all of its events that's all laid out from the poetic books to the historical books to every bit of it. It's all about Christ. And Jesus came and he said, hey, guess what? I've come, and the essence of really of my coming is that I might give you eternal life. That's why he came. The very essence of the gospel, the message, is eternal life. And he's saying here that God has made us this promise. Now tonight, and I don't know if I should drive this home to the Christian who's having a hard time believing it, or to the Christian that needs to hear this as encouragement, or to the skeptic that doesn't believe any of this and needs to be persuaded. Maybe by the grace of God, all the above would be touched. The essence of the message that we would present to you as a Christian is that Jesus Christ has come to give us eternal life. Now, my friend, you can receive that or you can blow it off. But I have news for you. You will never forget. I believe God will see to it that every human being that has had the invitation to accept Jesus Christ will never forget that opportunity that they passed up. Don't be the one that passes up eternal life. This is man's greatest quest, is that man might live forever. This big movement, this craziness about finding a genetic type of cosmetic, really, to begin to undo the aging and the death process that we're experiencing. This is men's pursuits. If we could just undo this, it's in the heart of every human being to keep living on. Listen, we do it with trends. I thought about this. I do this. The other night, we were out. Actually, my wife and my daughter were out shopping, and I don't know why this was the case, but I had to go for some reason. Maybe we had one car. But I was in the mall at Montclair, and I had my computer, so I'm sitting there, and I probably look like a nerd, but I was just in the nerdery doing my thing. They're just typing along, you know, because what am I going to do in these ladies' stores? It's just, you know, not the thing. and everything's the trend. And yet we're all into it. What's hip? What's the thing? Let's get it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But have you noticed how it cycles? And we talked about on the way out, my daughter had bell bottoms on. I laughed because that we wore, you know, when I wore when I was 13, that was like in 1869, you know? But it's in now. And I'm hearing in the store last night, isn't this cool? Do you know what it was? I turned around to look. It was one of those down-filled parka vests. I had one just like it. It said Ski Mammoth Mountain on it. I could have kept it and sold it for $35 last night. It's amazing. This quest, listen, the essence of the gospel is everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus offers it freely. Man's trying to do everything he can to create it, to find it, to live longer. Listen, there's a catch to that. You don't want to live longer in this world. This is not the place to live longer. Thank God for the Christian. We're just passing through. Amen. Find it interesting. I may say it wrong in the Russian language, but robota or robotic is the word for work. Gee, do you happen to catch on to what that word might mean to an American? Robot. That's what the word work is for Russian. That's a great word. Where are you going? Robot. And people think, you know, if I can just change my lifestyle, if I can just acquire this and just acquire that, I can maybe attain eternal life. In the mind, I'll get this thing, I'm gonna live on. And we even build things that we try to convince ourselves that we're gonna live on in this thing. And yet a lifestyle, you get up, listen, robot, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat, we sleep, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat, and we sleep. And then we think in the weekends, which by the way, did you know this? In America, the weekend is shrunk away now down to one day. We used to enjoy at least 2 days a week in rest. Did you know that? A society is judged by its wealth or its affluence by how much leisure time it has. Did you know that? America now has 1 day of leisure. And even Sunday is slipping away. I remember when I was a kid, you couldn't go anywhere on Sunday. You could scarcely, my dad owned a gas station. At that time, you could scarcely buy gas on a Sunday because nobody had businesses open on Sundays. And now people work. Why? To try to fulfill, to try to have that thing. Or maybe it's if I just had that girl or if I just had that guy. I promise you, if you had that guy or that girl, life might be worse. It's not the patch. Jesus freely offers eternal life, and he's promised us eternal life. And John is challenging us this evening that promise he's going to keep. He will keep that promise. In what way? The essence of the gospel is this. Jot it down if you would. Eternal life is promised by Jesus Christ, him very self. Jot these verses down. He has promised them. John 14:6, you know this verse. Everyone knows this verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I know that sounds narrow. It's because it is. I know that sounds myopic. It's because it is. Jesus says he's the only way. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, do you believe this? What in the world is he saying? He says, if you believe in me, and I've promised you eternal life, if you believe in me, even if you die, yet you're going to live. Do you know what that means? This is how you would teach it to a class of five-year-olds. I would do it this way. Maybe we all ought to do it. Blink, close your eyes, and open your eyes. Because that's it for the Christian. Jesus says, if you die believing in me, yet you live. The moment I blink at my moment of death in this life, the next you can't even put it, I was going to say, in the next millisecond, the next nanosecond. You can't put a time to it. The moment I die, I open my eyes in eternity with Christ. Jesus has promised us. Not the Baptist Church, not Calvary Chapel, not the Catholic Church, not some society, not some institution. But the fact is, it's Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus is he who believes, and the word in the Greek is keeps on believing, and the Son of God has everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life tonight? It's been promised. Do you have that peace? I look around today at America's youth, and my heart breaks because, you know, as you get older, it's true, you actually get wiser. I'm finding this out. And I look, and I listen to the youth. I listen to my own kids. I listen to your kids. Most of your kids come to my house and hang out, which I love. But we'll say things like, oh, you know, you say that now, but just wait till, and they go, man, you sound like my parents. And I capitalize on that. I say, yeah, but you know what? I'm not, am I? I'm not your dad. So listen to me. You see? Sometimes we receive things from strangers better. Oh, Jesus has promised us. We can believe in him. And I'm encouraging the young people. Come to Christ quick. Come to him now if you haven't already. I have the opportunity this coming Friday night to speak to a lot of young people about the coming of Jesus Christ. The pastor said, man, I want our youth to know about Jesus coming soon. I want them excited about it. Jesus has promised to give us life. In John chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me. That is, take up residence, be rooted, be grounded. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. For as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides, that is, takes up residence, continues, remains. He who abides in me and I in him bears forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus not only promises us eternal life, but he tells us that this abiding that we can have, that is God in our lives, it can happen now. We can experience Christ now, and that's who John's talking to, the believers who are experiencing Christ and having this abiding. Jesus says, I want to abide in you and you in me. Do you know what that's like this evening? Maybe you're one that's doubting. Maybe you're new in the faith and you're doubting and you're wondering. You know what? Continue to abide in Christ. That is, be in his word and be in the fellowship of his people, and you're going to grow. And you know what? I can tell you by experience that the doubts begin to fade away the more you're in the word. And you begin to rest. And you begin to find yourself no longer worrying about things. It's an amazing work of the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a moment. Jesus Christ has promised us eternal life. Also, eternal life is provided by Christ. Simply this, that he died, Jesus did, on the cross as prophesied. If you don't believe in that this evening, you better figure out some alternative plan. Because the Bible said in advance that Christ would come and die on the cross and be risen from the dead. He provided eternal life. Skeptic, you've got to deal tonight with the fact that Jesus literally, actually, according to Roman government, according to Roman archives, non-Christian data, Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus died. And Jesus changed the course of history. And the fact is that Jesus Christ provided eternal life by coming into this world and by going to the cross. And what will you do at that cross? The third thing that we see under the essence of the gospel is that it's eternal life, is that eternal life is powered by Jesus. Right now, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is praying for us. We talked about this last week. But this blood of his, I don't want to make too much of this, and we've mentioned it before in times past in the book of Hebrews, but consider this. When Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, he told Thomas, handle me and see, for a spirit, a ghost, does not have flesh and bone as you see me have. Why? Why didn't he say flesh and blood. Because I believe that Jesus Christ, in fulfilling Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, presented his blood on the altar in heaven, as it makes mention there in those two chapters, before God to take away our sin. That blood is eternally powerful. That blood is eternally effective. You will not someday in eternity be ejected because the power of his blood has worn out. No, Jesus, as the high priest, and in fact, he had to offer up blood on behalf of the sinner as a high priest on an altar, by the way, not made with human hands, that's eternal in the heavens. He had to enter into that Holy of Holies himself with a blood offering, or else Jesus Christ is not our Savior. He is not our high priest. The glorious news is he did do that. Read later Hebrews chapters 9 and chapters 10 and be blessed. Our salvation, our eternal life, is powered by Jesus himself. That's glorious news. The second thing that we see tonight is this, that the essence of the gospel is under attack. It is under attack by a frontal assault, and that publicly. That is so obvious. We heard J.P. Moreland recently announce that if you mention that you're a Christian in class or in college or university, wherever you're at, you're mocked and made fun of. You're labeled. And that there are professors that, I've had a student even tell me this, that he had a professor that said on his first day of school, anybody in here a Christian? That precious innocent brother thought that that teacher was going to say, I'm a Christian. It was a philosophy class. Philosophy is insanity without God. I want you to know that. There is no philosophy without God. It's insanity. There is no logic without God. And that guy raised his hand. And that guy was targeted for the rest of that course. You say you believe in Jesus Christ, and you are marked as an absolute idiot. You're old-fashioned. You're out of touch. You're not in step with the world. The essence of the gospel is under attack. He says, look at it, verse 26, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Some of the translations in your Bible say, I think more appropriately, seduce you. The word in the Greek is in a present tense. It's continuous. They are seducing. It's not that they're successful at it. That may or may not be true depending upon where you're at in your Christian experience at any given time. But listen carefully. You and I are fighting the seduction of the world against Christ, against the gospel. It comes through all kinds of mediums.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from 1 John chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. The title, A Life Worth More Than Living. A Life Worth More Than Living. Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by one of the very closest disciples of Jesus, the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we invite you to get on board with a whole bunch of Real Radio listeners, including me and my wife, as we're taking part in the One-Year Bible. Can you think of a better way to start off 2014? I can't. The One-Year Bible is designed in such a way that you can read in 1 year through the entirety of God's Word in as little as 15 minutes a day. It's true. The One-Year Bible, what a great idea. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out how to get your copy of the One-Year Bible. We want to put this in the hands of all Real Radio listeners, and that includes you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, the One-Year Bible. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all that contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.